I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in. Hello, today's guest is someone who brings a whole new meaning to servant leadership. Claude Burns is a founder and CEO of Office Libations, a corporate refreshment company that's not only transforming how teams snack, sip, and socialize at work, it's also landed on the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing companies three times and is expanding into new markets like Denver and Austin. But Claude's journey didn't start in a boardroom. It started in the United States Navy, where he served aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln during Operations Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom. After completing his service, he went on to earn an MBA from MIT Sloan, then launched multiple ventures in the food and beverage space, including Noble Brewer and Ale Tales, long before Office Libations was born. His deep passion for creating meaningful experiences, paired with the discipline and focus he learned in the military, has made him a force in the evolving world of workplace hospitality. Today, we're diving into Claude's unique journey from the deck of an aircraft carrier to the break rooms of Silicon Valley and finding out what it really takes to build a business rooted in culture, care, and connection. So welcome, Claude. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Jamie, thanks so much for having me. I'm going to hire you as like my hype woman. That was a great introduction.
Awesome. I'm so glad. But let's start from the beginning. Well, maybe not the very, very beginning, but let's just rewind back a little bit. What sparked the idea for Office Libations? Was there like a light bulb moment that started it or what happened there?
No, I wish I could say like I had this grand vision and plan, and you know, we knew what we were going to do. We identified an opportunity, but it was exactly the opposite. We were working on Noble Brewer, and we had extra beer, and we needed to sell it to someone, and we could sell it to offices. So we started selling beer to offices, and over the years, it's grown to a lot more than that. But that's kind of how it started.
That's actually really cool. And that's kind of a huge, well, not kind of, I mean, that's a bit of a left turn from your time in the Navy. But do you feel like that shaped, like your time then, do you think that shaped how you lead and build businesses today?
I mean, I think my time in the military definitely shapes like kind of who I am and, you know, how I think about building teams and structures and you know, the confidence to go and do something. I think that's one of the things that the military does a great job of is instilling that confidence that you can kind of accomplish and do anything. It also gives you a lot of responsibility, probably too much responsibility, to be honest, at such a young age that, you know, going into the business world, you know, it's, you know, I think a lot easier transition than most people starting a business just because of that experience that you're given and that responsibility at a very young age.
Well, that's a really good point. What were some of the biggest challenges in that transition from military life to startup life?
Yeah, I mean, in the military, our like manpower and how we think about building teams is very different. Like you're kind of given a team. And so you have to get the most out of your team and you have to find ways to sort of maximize your team's potential. But you really don't have the option to hire, right? You don't have the option to, you know, fire. So you kind of work with what you're given, both good and bad. But in the civilian sector, you can really find people who like fit a perfect niche for you. This person solves this exact problem. You know, there's full-time employees, part-time employees, contractors. There's a lot to do. And in some ways, you have to convince them to work with you and to get in, you know, to buy into your mission. I think that's one of the things I struggled with. And I know other military veterans that are entrepreneurs that also struggle with the same thing. It's kind of culturally different. And so trying to get people that, you know, just met you that to be on the same page, mission value wise, is very different than the military, where that mission and values is kind of instilled into you at a very, you know, very beginning stages of your military career.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of mentioned that Office Libations was a bit of a sidearm from Ale Tales. That was one of your few ventures that you've started before that. What did those teach you about launching and scaling a company? Because you obviously kind of pivoted from there. So what were some key takeaways?
Yeah, Ale Tales came later. Noble Brewer was kind of the first one. Still
okay, okay.
So very easy to get kind of confused. But, you know, building that with very e-commerce subscription box, so very kind of tech forward and how we were sort of approaching selling sort of a CPG product. And so taught me a lot about kind of, you know, supply chains, e-commerce, technology that helped a lot when we started building kind of a more traditional services company. And we kind of made a very early decision to sort of make it tech enabled and use technology in delivering kind of a service. So that way we could provide an experience that, you know, even when you sell to businesses, there's still people that make up who you're selling to. So providing a very consumer driven experience to sort of a very kind of old school, stagnant kind of B2B corporate refreshment space. We wanted to kind of provide a modern take to that. And we use technology to do a lot of those upgrades.
Well, that's great because you're right in the right location to be able to leverage the technology and all that kind of stuff being in Silicon Valley. But I think most people, when they think of food and beverage industry, and we think back to the time during the pandemic, how did you navigate through that? Because you guys have a bit of a different model. You're not, you know, you're working directly with businesses. So how did you navigate the COVID kind of stipulations, everything that we had to lock down, right? And then shift to remote, hybrid work, you know, business built for like your whole model is built around the office, right? So what happened there? What happened there?
Yeah, I mean, we lost like 95% of revenue in like 2 weeks. So I've blacked out most of that period. I don't really remember how we survived it. But I think,
you did. You know, you're here. You're here still. So there's obviously lessons learned from that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's some lessons that are consistent in the military. Like tomorrow, you know, you just have to fight till tomorrow, right? And that was kind of the one day at a time. Like, how do we get to tomorrow? How do we get to tomorrow? And you know, tomorrow took a long time, especially in kind of the San Francisco Bay Area. We didn't really see business start returning until really the end of 2021, the beginning of 2022, where people were kind of going back to the office. A lot of our customer base was sort of, you know, SaaS companies. So they were the most suited to be able to remove to sort of remote and hybrid, you know, at that time, it was mainly all remote. And we started seeing some advanced manufacturing come back, some biotech come back. And those were sort of the early clients coming out of that. And it just really came down to like just one day after the next, just keep surviving. You know, do we believe in kind of that the office will return? You know, a lot of people didn't. I could show you a lot of articles, but like that was kind of our core belief that, you know, people work best with other people. There are a lot of companies that if you want to move fast, you want to drive innovation, believe that people being next to each other, working shoulder to shoulder, are going to deliver better returns. Not everyone believes that, but we thought not enough of companies would believe that the office would sort of come back and then the need for our services would come back. So how do we best prepare ourselves for when the rebound happened? And so no customers, we got to kind of completely reimagine the business and, you know, how would we rebuild this today, knowing what we know today versus what we did, you know, 3-4 years ago. So we got to undo a lot of bad decisions, especially in our technology, that helped us sort of get to the point where we are today and ready to scale and grow.
Yeah. And you were referring to your time in the Navy about culture and all that kind of stuff. Office Libations is about more than snack. It's about company culture, right? Like that's kind of what you're all about. So how do you help your clients to see that?
Yeah, I mean, I think some clients, you know, they know it, right? They don't have to be kind of sold on the value of bringing people together. And I think food and beverage is like the one thing that connects us all, right? Like, you know, think about like you go on a first date with somebody, there's probably food and beverage involved, right? Like you have a family gathering, there's food and beverage involved. And so people just naturally connect around food and beverage. So when you spend most of your time at work, food and beverage is something that, you know, I think should be involved because that's how you connect better with people. People love talking about, you know, whether it's, you know, snacks or drinks or, you know, restaurants, they love talking about food and beverage and it really helps connect people together. And that's where the companies that want to build stronger culture realize it's a very low cost, high return investment to make in their people.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And obviously it's getting through because growth for you, you're looking at expanding to cities like Denver and Austin.
Yeah, we're already live in Denver and Austin and, you know, have a couple more on the docket that we're looking forward to launching. But
okay.
You know, we get a lot of companies that, you know, see what we're doing in other markets and are like, "Hey, when are you going to be in our city?" We have a lot of companies that we serve in a particular market that have offices in other markets that are like, we want what you guys do at our other office.
That's
and so,
cool.
You know, building a business, you know, it takes time, unfortunately. but we see a lot of demand across the country for services like ours and to provide service at kind of the levels that we do. So we're pretty excited about the future potential of the company. But, you know, being the impatient entrepreneur, you know, it never happens as fast as I would like.
I understand that statement wholeheartedly. And I think a lot of our listeners would too. But there is kind of value in just, you know, going day to day and letting the process be the process. And eventually you have opportunities like that where your clients just happen to be in another city and bring you out there. So that's really cool. And you've also made the Inc. 5000 list 3 times, not one, not two, but 3. So what do you think has been the key to that consistent growth?
Well, we'll see when it airs. It may be 4.
Okay.
You know, I think it's solving a need for a customer, right? You know, we call them clients, but, you know, it's solving a need for our client is ultimately the best way to grow. And I think the fact that we focus so much on like, what's the customer need? What's the client need? How do we do better by the customer? Puts us in a better position to compete against, you know, the multinationals in our space, because so much of our focus is on our customer. And when you do right by the customer, they want to, you know, keep you, so retention stays high. Other customers, you know, other potential customers see that you're growing, see that you're able to, you know, take care of other clients. I'll give you, you know, it may be helpful for some listeners, but we used to always get asked the question, it's like, what's your biggest account? What's your biggest client? We don't get asked that question anymore. And so it's a lot more helpful. It makes it easier for us to grow now that people are like, okay, you guys know what you're doing, and you know, customers are happy, they keep with you. Easier to grow when you have kind of that recurring revenue, that retention. And that's really the key, I think, to stay sustainable growth.
That's great. That's really great advice too. Like, just keep with it, keep at it. And as long as you continue to provide and show up for the people who are already there, they're going to stop asking you at some point, you know, for references, and just go off of what your reputation is, and that, you know, you really keep doing the good job, and eventually, like, that's going to catch up to you. And you're also involved with Bunker Labs, and you support veteran entrepreneurs. So what advice would you give to someone who is just getting started?
That's a great question. I mean, I think it comes down to what I just said. It's like solving a need for a customer, right? Like, that's the number one thing. I think as an entrepreneur, a lot of times we look at the world and we want it to be different, right? And that's part of what makes us unique and kind of special and weird and all those other words that I probably are not allowed to say. But I think that when you focus on solving a need for a customer, you can charge money for it, you can build a business. And that's really the first step is, does that need exist, and can you solve it? Is it not just your need, or you're like, I think this is a nice to have? Is someone actually willing to pay you to solve that problem? And then it comes down to like, can you replicate that process? Are there enough people that have that problem? Can you find enough resources, you know, team members to actually, you know, build a business out of it? There's, I think, lots of great jobs, right, that are businesses, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, if you leave, it doesn't exist. And so
I think that's great.
Building, you know, understanding what you want is the other kind of key thing. And that's usually the question. It's like, should I do this? Well, what do you want? Right. And you'd be surprised how many people can't answer that question. It's like,
yeah. Well, and sometimes there's a lot. There's a lot of answers too. And so it's like making the decision to choose what it is that you do want. That's a really good point. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, you can build a business that's, you know, wants to be a unicorn one day. And like, there's a certain path to building that type of business. You can also build a great business that gives you a ton of time with family and friends, and, you know, makes plenty of money, you know, for your lifestyle. You know, there, you can do something that's in between both of them that doesn't sort of fit nicely in either niche. You just have to understand what it is that you want and then build your business to sort of support that.
Yeah, there's no right answer. And I think a lot of people get into the seat that they're in and think that they're supposed to be a certain way or do things a certain way. And it's because of whatever experience has shown them, like, that's what that looks like. But when you're sitting in that seat, you get to make that decision yourself. So if family is the priority for you, you can absolutely create your business around your family or, you know, the freedom. If, like you said, I just want to make the most money that I can and, you know, whatever, like, that's absolutely another way. It's not always go, go, go. How can I get more? How can we get bigger? But that's where I think all of us kind of start. you know, at some point, like we want to do that, but you really do have that freedom as the owner. And if you're just getting started, to really think long and hard about what do I want? That's really, really good advice. Thank you for that. Looking back, what's one moment that made you think like, okay, yeah, this is working and this is going to work?
I mean, I think the moment someone else sold, right, the service, I was like, okay, this can be done. I think that was kind of the key moment for me where I was like, okay, this is just a rinse, wash, repeat, right? Like, we understand how to deliver the service. Somebody else can sell it, right? It's not, it wasn't really based on, you know, a lot of our early clients were based on kind of relationships or sort of connections to other people. You know, the delivery a lot of times was me, to be honest, for most of the first year. It was me in the back of loading the product in the back of my Jeep and driving around, you know, San Francisco and Silicon Valley delivering things. So the moment that someone else could deliver the, you know, the service at the level that customers expected and somebody else could sell the service, you kind of look back and go, okay, like I have a full loop now from revenue creation to revenue, you know, delivery. Now it's just how do we build the rest of the business?
Yeah. And so what's next for you and for Office Libations?
Yeah, we kind of talked about it earlier. We're looking to continue to grow into new markets across the country over the next few years. Like I said, probably not as fast as I'd like, but that's kind of the goal. Keep supporting our customers and, you know, the markets that we're in. Really focus on delivering what's best for them, and then, you know, do that in other places for other companies.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, so this podcast is called What It Takes, and we kind of talked on some few things. Like, key point for me, you got to just, what can you do to get to tomorrow? I love that. That was really great mindset to have. But because we're called What It Takes, I like to ask business owners, in your experience and what you've seen, what does it take?
Consistency. I think that's the key. You know, get up every day, like, make your company a little bit better. You know, I think most entrepreneurs have that drive to make things better, but a lot of times we get distracted by shiny objects and, you know, are impatient and everything. But I think, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, I think is the saying, but, you know, same thing, great businesses aren't built in a day. So it's that consistency. Each day, get up, work on your business, make it a little bit better, you know, go to sleep, rinse, wash, repeat. And then, you know, you look back a few years and it's pretty amazing what, you know, what's happened and what your team's created behind you. I think that transition from like, I did this, someone else did it, and I have no idea about it, and it's awesome. Like, that is like probably one of the most enjoyable parts about being an entrepreneur, is seeing what other people create and sort of the out of your vision.
That's really cool. Yeah. I think you heard it here, guys. Consistency is key. And I think that's one of the things that is really underrated, but you just keep getting up and doing what you do. And eventually, you know, we kind of talked about that earlier, people will start seeing those results start showing up for you. So that's really great. Thank you so much, Claude. His story, guys, is such a powerful reminder that great companies are built not just on strategy, but on service, on, we talked about mission, on human experience. And you've had, you know, starting from your Navy roots to your entrepreneurial ventures, Claude, you've really shown how discipline and heart can drive real lasting impact, whether you're supporting a military operation or you're reinventing the modern break room. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and the passion behind what you do. And guys, if you guys are listening and want to get a hold of Claude, how can people find you if they're looking for you?
Yeah, on LinkedIn, not a lot of Claude Burnses. You probably used to be able to Google me, but Anthropic's kind of ruined that for me, but that's okay. You can also email me, claude@officelibations.com. Pretty easy to get a hold of. But I appreciate you having me on the show, Jamie.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's your website, officelibations.com.
Yep.
All right, guys, go check them out. And of course, we close every episode with our What It Takes question. And I just have to say again, consistency is key. I think that is one of the most underrated things people are looking at, you know, passion and drive and all that kind of stuff. You know, you got to have this vision, but I think just showing up is really, really key. So I just wanted to reiterate that one last time. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, thank you for listening to What It Takes.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.